call the October 2nd, 2012 Sussex County Council meeting to order. Approval of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Mr. President. We can amend the agenda under my name. Item 1B, Henlopen Landing Phase 4, can be stricken from the amendment. I'm sorry, from the agenda. And under executive session, we can strike job applicants' qualifications, personnel, and land acquisition, leaving pending and potential litigation.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We had the minutes from September 18th. Any questions, concerns, or changes? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none, Mr. President.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Two items today. We have a letter of credit that is scheduled to expire shortly. And after contacting the bank and the developer, at this point, I believe it is the recommendation of the engineering department to call that letter of credit. Yeah, sure, Mike, if you'd like to come up.
Mr. Rizzo.
Good morning. This is in reference to a project known as Oakwood Phase 1. It's a project where we are working actively with the developer. It is his intention to complete the work. Our only situation is that his existing letter of credit is set to expire next Monday. We had a conference call with him yesterday afternoon. He hopes to provide a substitute security before the letter of credit expires next Monday. There is a layer of pavement that still needs to be put down in the project. However, please note that we're not receiving any complaints from the actual residents, and it's his intention to complete the work. We just need to take this action in the unusual circumstance where he does not provide this substitute security. Will allow us to call in the funds. I would suggest the way that I've set up this motion is that if we do not have that substitute security by 12 noon on Monday, would allow myself and the finance director to take action to call in the funds. So just as a precaution, so to speak. So if you don't have any questions, I have a motion that I
read
can
read. Motion, please.
I just have a comment. You've been, I like the way you've been handling these things. I've been following a lot of them in my district. Thank you very much.
And I have to give a lot of credit to Michelle Warren. She,
yes,
she keeps us all on our toes, and she's not dropped any of these balls, because there's a lot of balls in the air, and she's doing a great job. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council finds that Oakwood Village at Lewis LLC has failed to complete construction of the project number 438, also known as Oakwood Phase 1, while the security in the form of letter of credit number SB95050400001 held by M&T Bank is set to expire on October 8, 2012. And should the developer not provide a substitute security by 12 noon on Friday, October 5, 2012, the council authorizes its county engineer and finance director to take action to draw funds from said letter of credit to complete the construction.
Motion,
Mrs. Deaver, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion?
I have a question about the alternate security. Do we have, is there a list of what's acceptable? How do you judge that? How do we do that?
Oh, when you say
an acceptable
as far as him
replacement,
providing,
substitution.
We have a protocol where the developer provides it to the engineering department. We in turn run it by the assistant county attorney, in this case, Mr. Rutt. He looks at the form of the security and approves it.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Any more questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir, very much.
Yep.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Next item is County Administrator's Report. Only one item today. Per the attached Delaware State Police Activity Report for August, there were 4,979 total traffic arrests and 1,719 criminal arrests. Of that, 556 were felony, 1,163 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours spent on duty, 43% were spent on criminal investigations. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mrs. Webb?
Thank you. First thing today is possible amendments to our current investment policy, and today we have Nick Adams and Dominic DeRamo from Wilmington Trust Company that will speak later. But the finance department has been taking a look at our cash position and investing in general. And Munis has allowed us to have a pooled cash approach to our cash. Also, the other major change is that we did an RFP for banking services with one bank, allowing the county to get the best offer all the way around. So what's in place next is to take a look at our investment policy and make changes. Our current investment policy is outdated and needs to be reviewed as the investment world has changed drastically. Just like the banking has changed, so has our interest income. In 2006, we received 3.3 in interest. In 2007, 4.8. 2008, 3.2. 2009, 1.6. And in the 2013 budget, we budgeted $300,000. That's a 91% reduction from 2006. So we need some sort of consideration now to do with our reserve cash. Our current investment policy allows us to invest in government obligations as the collateral that supports our deposits. Basically, we can have deposits in cash, whether it be money market or certificates of deposit, but the collateral must be U.S. government obligations. For us, treasuries or Ginnie Mae's, which are government national mortgage association, at 102% is the collateral on our cash. However, today I would like to make a recommendation to broaden this, allowing some investments within a fixed income portfolio approach, but still maintain our safety, our liquidity, and return. In your packet, you had a investment policy, which I'll be recommending. The general objectives are clear. The safety of our principal is the foremost objective. We have been very ultra-conservative. That is our policy with our cash, even in our pension fund, and we will still remain conservative. Liquidity is important, and the return and the yield of our investments. However, the suitable and authorized investments, I would like to recommend that we used a more fixed income approach with our reserve cash, and Mr. DeRamo will speak to that in a little bit later. Still a very low risk and a higher return than we are currently seeing. And this applies to our reserve cash only, not our operating cash. Mr. DeRamo will discuss what a fixed asset portfolio really means and the individual investments included in that. And after Mr. DeRamo speaks, then I'll suggest our fixed income ladder approach. So, Mr. DeRamo, if you'd like to, I have these to hand out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we can
thank
ask
you for
questions,
your time.
Because I know this is a little bit new.
Before you start, Susie, you referenced all those other years in a percentage fashion, but then this current budgeted at, you mentioned it at 300,000. What would that represent on a percentage basis?
What would it represent as far as our return?
Yeah.
Probably about 0.02. It's gone steadily down. It just goes from bad to worse of what banks are willing to offer, and we're just stuck with that cash on deposit.
Fed keeps lowering it.
At least it's been consistent.
To where, you know, when we did the RFP, one local bank that was one of our biggest depositors, we did tremendous business with them, and back when we were bidding certificates of deposits, were very competitive, they didn't even want the government banking. So that's why we need to change our approach. There's been a lot of things in play.
Well, good morning, everyone. Before you have our presentation, I'll take a few moments just to go through and remind everyone the capabilities of Wilmington Trust. I've worked very closely with Susie through this process, helped construct the investment policy. We'll talk a little bit about that, the purpose of it, and foremost the key tenets of it, you know, truly understanding the needs and the objectives of the portfolio. But if we begin and we just turn to page 2 Before you, you'll see a pie chart, and Wilmington Trust, we are managing $25.3 billion. This is as of June 30th. A variety of slices of the pie across the complete yield curve. What we're presenting today, we transact and construct these portfolios for many government entities across the state, both locally and at the state level. The portfolio that we're speaking of here today is purely for the excess funds or the reserve funds. And if we turn to page 4, just to give everyone an approach to how we have undertaken this, we've worked closely with SUSE to foremost to understand the client objectives here. We are looking to marry those objectives to our market analysis of duration, sector, and yield curve, creating the optimal portfolio. This creation of an optimal portfolio is a constant fluid approach. It's not a set it and it's done perspective, but one where we act as an extension of your staff, constantly involved, looking to bring back ideas and thoughts on the marketplace and how it ultimately can benefit the county. If we turn to page 7, I've highlighted some of the benefits that we bring to municipalities. As I've mentioned, we construct many portfolios along the yield curve, whether it's for Newcastle County or the state of Delaware, whether it's pension funds or it's operating funds or it's the reserve funds. But we're quite familiar with these structures. We're quite familiar with what the objectives are and ultimately very familiar in how to construct an investment policy that provides the latitude so that one can take advantage of some market opportunities but still adhere to the principal tenets of preservation of capital, liquidity, and then yield. Turning over to tab 1, as SUSE has mentioned, obviously the market has been quite challenged with respect to yield. And I've just plotted the Treasury yield curve just to give us a bit of a foundation of what has transpired since the collapse of the financial markets in 2008. And what we see here is, I've captured this over a short period of time, June of 11 to September 30th, but the Federal Reserve has been extremely active in implementing a very accommodative posture to engage, economic activity. And the degree of economic activity that we've experienced to date has been, at best, very soft. So the Federal Reserve continues to put their foot on the gas to, engage the economy. And by doing so, the Federal Reserve at the very, very short end of the yield curve has drawn rates basically down to zero. So target Fed funds are 0 to 25 basis points, and in turn, all pricing from there is keyed off of that. So income that's earned today is considerably less than when we look back historically in time. And the Federal Reserve will remain in that position as they've advertised and they've communicated clearly into late 2015. And that late 2015 is key because as we've constructed the portfolio, we've taken into consideration that time frame. The next few pages, won't go into detail, a few graphs, and I welcome any questions as we go along the way here, but illustrates some of the struggles that we're seeing both at the European level and then the volatility that we're experiencing in the marketplace. But if we turn a few pages beyond to the point where I have the sample investment policy or sample portfolio rather, what you'll see here is that in close dialogue with SUSE, the fact that preservation of principal is key, and then liquidity, and then ultimately yield. Yield is a byproduct of those two constraints. We've constructed a portfolio that includes government agencies only. It is a laddered approach, and there are reasons for that. Beginning at 18 months is our first maturity and extending out to 6 years. The portfolio itself, equally weighted, that'll meet any liquidity needs that are upcoming, but provides us a weighted yield of 69 basis points. As we look at the marketplace, and we've stated that the Federal Reserve is on hold into 2015, we have maturities prior to that, and the reason being is if there are any significant changes in economic activity, bless you, that would require the Federal Reserve to act or tighten rates in any matter, we then have cash flow to reinvest at higher levels. It is highly unlikely that that transpires. In fact, the Federal Reserve has also been very clear to say that they look to remain in an accommodative stance even as the economy begins to take on a sound footing and begin to have a self-sustaining economic recovery. In today's environment, I would say that we are months and possibly even a few years away from that. So in constructing this portfolio, we've taken a very conservative approach where we have limited our exposure only to government agencies because of the credit quality. We've looked to construct the portfolio that meets the liquidity needs. So that's our second tenet within the investment policy. And then ultimately, yield is the outcome. So yes, in today's environment, we're obviously starved for yield. But I would say the greatest danger in that one could do is to turn the investment policy where yield becomes the primary objective, and then liquidity and then safety. It is something that we continually warn our clients about, that let's remain focused on what are the objectives of the policy. I think the policy that Susie has presented today is one that provides substantial latitude, so that as the environment changes. But I think it is one, I believe it is one that clearly states what the tenets are, and I believe it is one that you'll find consistent among government agencies.
And I do want to mention that if you look under Section 5 in the investment policy, suitable and authorized investments, what's been presented is under A, government obligations. There are 2.5 pages of fixed income considered investments. Some take the risk a little step further than the government obligations, for instance, obligations of state and local governments, which might be municipal debt. We're just going to venture out into the government obligations right now. In the policy, any change in our investments would have to come before council. So say, for instance, in a year, we get a different approach from Wilmington Trust and we look at doing some municipal debt, it would have to come before council for approval. Also, a 3-month reporting has to come before council so that you can see where we're at, what we've earned, and this, like the sample portfolio. So it's not like we're going to take our reserve funds and just, go into like a pension investment, that kind of thing. We will do it slowly over time and as we talked about, maintaining the principal is the most important thing.
I think the objective there, and Susie clearly stated it, but if I could reiterate it, is that the objective of this portfolio when we're dealing with reserve funds is distinctly different than a pension fund. So within a pension structure where one can assume a greater degree of risk and has a longer horizon, this is distinctly different. So I believe it is extremely important that we continue to focus on the key tenets of preservation of principal, liquidity, and then yield, and that the policy today, as it's presented before you, is written as such.
But we could do that in the long term if we wanted with reserve funds. If we could section them out and say, this, look at a 10-year approach or something to even get. We have all the options with this policy right here.
It has been
but
my experience.
But only fixed income.
Yeah, it has
no
been my
equities.
Experience that many times situation like this, it's best to take an incremental approach. Venture into an area that's quite safe, quite sound. And then as the environment changes and there are other opportunities, we'll be here before council to present those opportunities and illustrate where they are in the marketplace. But in today's environment, there's no question that there's still a great deal of uncertainty. The Federal Reserve continues to keep their foot on the gas and be as accommodative as possible. And in turn, we're looking to construct a portfolio that maximizes your yield, all based upon the previous two tenets that we've mentioned.
Help me understand, I have a basic question about this.
Please.
This fund or this balance was formerly handled by us, you're handling it, is that the question, or have you always been?
No, it was in deposit accounts.
So now we have somebody to handle it, and we would be paying for that too. We'd be paying a commission for that too, right?
There's an asset level fee. We ourselves are not a broker dealer. So anything that we execute, that price is passed directly to the client.
Just looking at the money.
But yes, what you said was true. That it was in a deposit accounts, right, where we managed, we moved or bought CDs, mm-hmm, or that kind of thing.
We did it ourselves.
Yes.
Your office did that.
But that's all we could do.
Right.
We were limited to deposit.
I understand.
By ordinance, right? Is it
by
ordinance or
previous investment policy.
Okay, policy.
Not,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, this sample, this on page, whatever page that is, that Sussex County Reserve. Oh, you're on that now?
I'm finished.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What's, you're talking about government agency investments, government obligations. Is that U.S. government or what kind of security do we have there?
These are all government agencies or GSEs, government sponsored enterprises. So they would include Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Federal Home Loan Bank. From a risk perspective, you know, at the risk free base would be your U.S. treasuries and then your government agencies. And then if you look beyond the risk spectrum, you're further out on the risk spectrum, that's when you move into corporates and other investment types. So we're purely dealing in the government agency space.
And we hope that that's very, very stable and very, we don't lose any of our principal.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So any security that is being constructed or any portfolio that is being constructed will always tie back to the investment policy, and where foremost preservation of principal is the number one objective.
Mike, right. Is that where we currently have our money? This sample? Is that?
No,
mm-hmm.
No, we're not doing this. This is my recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
No, it is in a money market.
Okay, so this sample is how we're thinking of investing it?
Yes.
Okay.
See how it's tiered? See, individual par bonds with the first one, $3.2 million Federal Farm Credit Bank.
Right.
And that is a government agency.
Okay.
At 0.6% per year, and it will mature in March 14th.
So this is how we
once it's this is what you would call a laddered approach.
Okay.
And it goes all the way from 14 to 18. If you take this out over time in the 6 years of this laddered approach, you're looking about $2.6 million in return on the amount of this reserve fund.
Okay.
And that's then wherein lies the yield. With preserving the capital, because it's the next safest thing besides having your money in a deposit account, and I think we're ready to do that.
Okay, just
questions from
council. Curious about what that means.
Now, if you want to talk about government obligations, the different types of things, you know, the Fannie Mae's, the Ginnie Mae's, I mean, you know, you can see them in Section A of this policy. Mr. Duramo, I'm sure, can speak to what's Freddie Mac versus Federal Farm Credit versus Ginnie Mae. But, you know, it's just government supported.
Gone down. The value's gone down.
So
my Ginnie Mae's have gone down. My value. It's not the same thing. I know.
The key thing
not
here, I think.
Ginnie Mae.
But you hold them to your principal. You don't have to. You need to hold them out to your principal,
mm-hmm.
and not
right.
erode into the to that. And that's what this does when they come due on.
The sad part about all this is one thing, as far as I'm. Interest rates is far below what the inflation rate is, and we're not going to keep up. The whole country's in that situation, and those who've got any money is just going to go further down. It's going to come to a bankrupt situation, and I don't see any. I don't, and I still mean to point gloom here, but it's actually the facts, and you agree with that, right?
Yeah, I think we could. I could spend a lot of time discussing this, but your point is well taken that the Federal Reserve, if you really think about what the Federal Reserve has engineered here, is they've engineered a negative rate of return of the environment.
You're absolutely right.
And the reason for that is that it induces both the consumer and the institution to spend money. And by spending money, ideally, you're theoretically stimulating economic activity. To date, that economic activity is, from the degree that's really required, has not materialized. So until it materializes, the Federal Reserve continues to push on the gas pedal, and that gas pedal.
Yeah, they're convinced this will work eventually.
Correct.
So we just have to wait them out.
What you're really doing is bailing out the banks, in a sense of speaking.
Oh, now you are depressing me.
Well, I know. Well.
So within those constraints and that environment, it's really our objective to, and this is what's critical again, to adhere to that policy, really understand. What is the purpose of the policy? Preservation of capital, liquidity, and then yield, and not be blinded by some degree of yield that's out there, only to find that the degree of risk that one is encountering or one that's assuming is more than one would be comfortable with. I believe what we've presented here today is exactly that, where one is preserving your principal, you have the liquidity, and the yield is the outcome of those two.
Okay.
I'd like to see a typical, I like to see what we're doing when it's decided, I like to see what you decide to do when you decide to do it. I want some kind of report on what we're investing in, so.
Well, that's why I put that in the investment policy, a quarterly reporting to council. For instance, I have broken this out between reserve and operating. If my operating gets to the point where it's, some needs to go into reserve, then we might have a whole new capital investment. And we need, and that would be reported on a quarterly basis, rather than keep it in the operating, which, you know, we don't want to do, not with the reserve funds.
No, I'm just interested in the particular kinds of investments that are made. I want to see what they are.
Sure thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, our objective
right
here.
Right in the policy.
Yeah, our objective here is to, you know, really be an extension of your staff. So we will be here every quarter. We will review the economic activity that's there, and we'll discuss where the opportunity set lies.
One last thing. I know that, you know, Wilmington Trust and M&T Bank, which you're up with, but my understanding is this part of Wilmington Trust Company has always been highly regarded. It was other parts of Wilmington Trust Company that went astray or something. The team, I didn't go through them all, but is it basically the same group that's been there with Wilmington Trust? Because you kind of had a niche, I believe, in this area, and unless I'm wrong.
It's been the case with our pension funds, our fixed income investment. With both the OPEB and pension.
But I'm just wondering, there hadn't been any major changes?
No, so a little background, and I apologize for not starting
okay,
there,
I just,
but I've been an employee of Wilmington Trust now for 26 years. I'm responsible for all of fixed income.
I can't believe you came on at the same time.
It's been a, you know, everything remains under the Wilmington Trust name, and we're a wholly owned subsidiary of M&T, but the fee business and the investment management is in Wilmington, and the fixed income area reports into me.
And is it the trust department as well has maintained because of the reputation with trusts? It's very popular across the country, I believe.
Correct.
We have also trust accounts in a whole different realm.
As long
there.
As you're not investing in real estate, we're probably okay.
Oh, no. Well, you see right here.
Sir, except for on that.
Here comes somebody.
I just wanted to make sure I noted, as a result of the merger, many folks from M&T who worked in the investment management business and in the corporate trust business have actually sort of reverse merged into our Wilmington Trust platform. So they now are branded under the Wilmington Trust brand. To the extent that those individuals have actually folded into our business, Dominic, very humbly wouldn't say this to you, but has been named. He's responsible for fixed income investment management across the entire institution. So what legacy M&T had and now for what Wilmington Trust had. So I think that really speaks to our presence in the market and our ability to perform in these situations. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So the way, way I'm reading this is we will have a 0.69 return on investment.
Correct. That is your income component of the yield. That's right. So there's no question in today's environment, it's quite challenged. So it's within that challenging environment, you know, how does one, you know, structure a portfolio ultimately that, you know, meets the needs and where the yield is actually the outcome of it.
You always want to read a small print, Vance. It says, there is no assurance that an investment strategy will be successful.
I assume we do that. Anything else from council? Any questions?
No,
Mrs. Webb does a wonderful job. I heard you call her Susie. I know we all call her Susie. But she's so capable, and she does such a wonderful job. May I ask you
thank
to call
you.
Her Mrs.
And I
Webb?
Had,
I will do that.
It's a team, Gina Jennings from the accounting department and Louise Thompson, which are 6 rows back. They like to hide. Louise and Gina keep all the cash straight so that when I call to get a number or call to get an idea, they give me exactly what I need, and I could not do it without them. But I do have a motion. And if this goes, we will be back in January to report. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council adopt the investment policy as presented and amended.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mrs. Webb,
thank
for all
you.
Your hard work.
My next agenda item is a memorandum of understanding between Sussex County and the Friends of the Greenwood Library. This is much like what we did with the South Coastal Library when they expanded. As you know, we're in the middle of the Greenwood Library expansion, and the Friends group have generously pledged $150,000 towards the cost of construction for our building project. And today I have a memorandum of agreement before you between us and the Friends group. It explains how the capital contributions will be paid over to the county. The agreement is very simple and states that the Friends group will pay $75,000 when a construction agreement is signed and $75,000 when the project is completed and open for public use. The Friends group did get their nonprofit status as a fundraising group from the IRS, so that's why this was just now presented, as they just did get it and are able to collect donations. And from what I understand, they're doing very well in reaching this goal of $150,000.
They have that much on hand?
No, they don't have it on hand, but they have commitments, and they have, you know, like the Longwood Foundation, which is very generous to libraries. They have, but they're still doing fundraising.
Mm-hmm. And if they make more than $150,000, would they even contribute that?
Well, typically what happens in the Friends group, I'm going to say no, but what they do is, because it's for the library, they might buy pieces of furniture.
Okay.
I don't think it's, you know, they don't really sit on cash because they've collected it. They would somehow turn it to benefit the library by furniture or something like that.
Sure. You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council accept the memorandum of agreement between Sussex County Council and the Friends of the Greenwood Library.
Okay, a motion. Mr. Wilson makes a motion.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Any question on the motion?
The only questions I have is that it's a memorandum of agreement, and I don't know legally what that really, if it's enforceable or not. I really don't think so, but I could be wrong. I'm just want to know what it is we're voting on. Is it legally enforceable?
We're okay with it. We have looked at this, and
okay.
We're fine.
Fine. Thank you.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Brad Whaley.
Morning, Council. Randy Bennett, Nauman, and myself are here today to